Welcome back to Sports Day SA. Malcolm Blight and David Wilde, thanks to the Toolkit Depot, your trade pro partner. Toolkit Depot, everything you need to get the job done, shop in store or online.
Sports Day SA. Always believe in your soul. On Cruise 1323 and 1629 SEN SA.
Well, Malcolm, we're going to speak to a man that you know well from Queensland. He works for AFL.com. As we said, thanks to Toolkit Depot, Michael Whiting joins us.
Yeah, David, I mean, it was one of the pleasures actually sitting watching training as I did for a number of years with Michael. And just the assessment, his knowledge of football, he's been around the scene for so long and I always enjoyed his writing. So it's great to catch up with him, a good Queenslander.
Yeah, Michael, welcome to the show. And gee, your footy's all right. Gold Coast Suns are shining. A couple of good wins in Darwin and Brisbane, as always, up around the top of the ladder.
Thanks, guys. I'm blushing from your comments there, Blighty. Great to join you. Footy up here is going well. It was a terrific fortnight for the Suns up in Darwin. Obviously, they went up there under a bit of pressure, 4-6, and you thought, oh, if this goes the wrong way, their season could just about be done. But they did the opposite. They flipped the script and they beat two top eight teams. Great wins against the Dogs and Adelaide. Had to show a bit of resilience in both of those victories. And yeah, the Lions put themselves right in premiership contention. They had a bye, obviously, on the weekend, but 8-3 sitting nicely in third. So, yeah, both teams going well up here, which is not something I've been able to say too often over the last decade or so.
Yeah, 2-2, Gold Coast in Darwin. Blighty and I spoke at the top of the show. We thought maybe Adelaide could have gone a couple of days earlier to acclimatise. It is completely different up there, as we know, the humidity in Darwin, and a lot of teams get caught out. So well done to the Gold. They actually stayed there for the 7 days, didn't they?
Mm. They did. They went up on the Thursday before they played the Dogs, so they had 48 hours to prepare for that game, and then they did stay in Darwin the week, so they're there 10 days all up. Did a little bit of work in the community post the Dogs match on the Monday and Tuesday, and then got stuck back in before they played Adelaide. So yeah, they've loved their time. 2 years in a row now they've spent 10 days up there, and they're 4-0 in the last 2 years. So I get the feeling they really enjoy it. They've got a lot of guys on their list now that come from Darwin, and it does feel like a bit of a home away from home for the team.
Now, just to introduce to our listeners here in Adelaide, Michael actually trained with the Brisbane Lions about 4 or 5 years ago. In other words, he was a middle distance runner as a youngster, and he went and trained. He actually lived embedded, and that was the word, wasn't it? Embedded with the Brisbane in a pre-season. I mean, it was the most unusual. I love reading your take on the whole thing. I love reading the Brisbane take on the whole thing, that you got in and got your hands dirty with them. It must have been enjoyable for you, but also fact-finding.
Yeah, terrific. It is terrific, Blighty. I've been lucky to got to run a session with the Lions a few years ago. I actually jumped in with the Suns and just did the running component. If I did the footy stuff, mate, they'd snap me in half. But the running stuff I love. It's what I grew up with. It's terrific on a number of fronts for me. I get to see how hard those guys work first person, and obviously it helps my relationship building with the players and with the rest of the club. So they're great experiences, and I feel lucky that the clubs have allowed me to jump in a couple of times over the years.
Now, I reckon that's because of the way you operate. Now, you had a blue with Chris Fagan not that long ago, something you wrote about the team, about the issues. Chris Fagan didn't like it. He got fairly upset with you. But ultimately, Chris Fagan was big enough to give you an apology for it.
About a year ago, sort of late last season, he wasn't too pleased with something I wrote in one of my match reports. And
a difference of opinion.
What specifically was it, Michael? What upset him?
They'd lost the match up at the Gabba against Essendon, and I thought their effort was below par, and I wrote that. And Chris didn't think that was fair. They'd had a few late changes because of COVID. And we had a difference of opinion, but he did call me shortly afterwards to apologise, and we hashed it out more, and it was great. I think obviously as a journalist, you come across those things sometimes. Not everyone's going to agree with what you write, but I love being able to deal with it, whether it's players or coaches, if they don't agree, but if they come and tell you why and you can explain where you're coming from, I think it's the best way to go about it. And And, yeah, we put it behind us very quickly.
And one of the things, a great journalist told me many, many years ago, knowledge is hard to beat, opinion's easy sometimes. But if you do it with knowledge, like you've done, it's hard to knock off, isn't it? It's hard to beat knowledge.
That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to support your stories or your arguments with facts. I mean, I think that's what most journalists are trying to do. Obviously, we're in a little bit more of an opinion game now, and it's good to have an opinion, but as long as you've got some sort of statistics or a reasonable basis to back up what you're saying, I think people you'll eventually get people's respect.
Okay, now, back to the Gold Coast Suns. So far down, it looked over, but Lukosius, they've found some goals, 10 in the last two weeks. Anderson's been good all year, I reckon, but it was Matty Powell. Yeah, young Humphrey as well, but Matty Powell in the third quarter, just got going again. He's sort of been a bit down, hasn't he, compared to Noah Anderson, but all of a sudden those early picks, and they've got a lot of them still, they're just starting to sprout a bit.
They are. They're 4 or 5 years in. We know Matt Rowell had some big injury problems his first couple of years. Did the shoulder in year one, had a knee in year two that wiped him out for half a year. But he doesn't get big numbers. He's not a high possession winner, but he's right at the coalface all the time. I think they've obviously got a good chemistry, those two. They came pick one and pick two, and they're best mates. But they're a great complement to each other in the midfield. Rowell's under the nose of the ruckman all the time, and Anderson's able to do that, but he's much better on the spread. He can jump away from stoppages, and he can also use the ball pretty well on the outside. So they're a great combination. They have got some high-end picks. Bailey Humphrey, like you mentioned there, is making a terrific impact in his first season. Lukosius, Ben King. But these guys have got 4 and 5 years under their belt now, and we're just starting to see 50, 60 and 80 games in what they're capable of.
Ballard, another one. Hey, Michael, a lot of knockers about football in the Sunshine State. Participation numbers, I believe they're as high as anywhere going around in Australia. And also there's a couple of kids in the upcoming draft. They might go in the top 10 out of the academy there. So they must be doing something right.
Yeah, the participation numbers are great. That's been a huge tick. And Gold Coast does have a lot to do with that. It's that Gold Coast region, which is massive, has gone ahead a lot in the last 10 years. Now, obviously, it's not what we get to see on a weekend basis, but you hope long-term it's going to have an impact. And, as you rightly say, a couple of academy kids from the Suns that they've had some small success with over the years. They've got numbers, but there does look like there's some top-end talent here. Jed Walter, Ethan Reed, and a few others. So potential top 10s, and, you know, that's... Obviously, that's what you want, big participation potentially if you guys coming through your academy, and sort of staves off that go-home factor if you're producing them from your own backyard.
Malcolm and I both had Brisbane in the grand final, maybe even winning it. Both times we've seen them at Adelaide Oval, they've been beaten. Port Adelaide smashed them, Adelaide beat them. Is there still a query somewhere? I mean, you look at the talent right across the board, it looks fantastic, but just seems to fall short, or it has fallen short the last 4 years, even though they finished fourth and fifth, that type of scoreline. Where do you put them? Because I don't think there's any, maybe apart from Collingwood, I don't think there's any standout teams like there have been in previous years for the Hawthorns, Geelongs, Richmond, this type. So where do you see them?
Yeah, I'm with you, guys. I had them in the grand final at the start of the year as well. I think they're a better team than they have been previous years, and it is interesting that they've lost both times at Adelaide Oval. Aside from that, I think they're 8-1. They played good footy. I think they're better balanced. The Josh Dunkley addition can't be understated. He is a great complement to their midfield. He's a bit more defensive. Lockie Neal's obviously a brilliant player, but he likes to hunt the ball. Sometimes I reckon that can leave them exposed going the other way. Same as Hugh McCluggage loves to hunt the ball.
Yeah.
Got a lot of good ball winners and ball users, but Dunkley, we've seen it against Carlton, where he went to Patrick Cripps at the stoppages and kept him quiet. He kept Matt Rowell quiet at stoppages, and they just got a little bit more flexibility in their game now with Dunkley there. Connor McKenna's been pretty good at half back, offers him a bit more run, a bit more speed, which covers up a few defensive lapses. So they're not perfect team by any stretch, but I think they're a little bit more flexible and have a few more options to throw around if they get into strife.
Yeah, I reckon they're travelling okay. Now, Will Ashcroft, I saw him train with the Gold Coast Academy for all those years when his the father, Marcus Ashcroft, triple premiership player. So you know the Ashcroft family fairly well because of all your involvements up there. But, I mean, what a beauty he is. How do you get them? You just, they don't grow on trees like Will, do they?
No, they don't. Brisbane's so lucky to get him. They haven't had a lot of success with father sons over the years, so I think they're thanking their lucky stars that Will chose to go down the father-son path. Of course, he didn't have to, but he did. And you speak to him, he is, if he's not the most professional player at the club, he's up there already. He's just walked in. I sometimes wonder whether that leaves, how much room that leaves you to grow, to be honest. Like, obviously, physically, he's going to get stronger and he's going to get fitter, but he is so locked in and so professional and ticks every box and obviously has a lot of skill to go with that. And I mean, I've mentioned Dunkley and McKenna there. It was silly to not mention Ashcroft in that same sentence because he's just given him so much depth and he can be so destructive on the outside as well. He's a great ball user.
Yeah, great kid. Michael Whiting, I guess one last one. I know you're a fair way from the Adelaide Oval, but Port Adelaide, I think they've taken us all by surprise this year. And look at that elite midfield, Rosie, Buttershorn, Francis. They're there for the next decade. It's been an amazing story. And I think the other thing, Michael, they've got elite kickers now that go through the whole side, particularly their back line. You know, Farrell and Burton, McKenzie, Houston, they can all kick.
Houston.
And that's massive.
Yeah, it is. I love that midfield. I really love watching Port Adelaide now. And obviously they've been similar to Brisbane in some ways. They've been down a year or two, but in that top four, knocking on the door and not quite able to get there. But just that verve and that ability to jump away from congestion that Rosie and Horn Francis offers now. And I love what Kenny's been able to do with that forward line. I sort of thought when Charlie Dixon Marshall misses with concussion. Georgiades is out for the rest of the year. And you think, where are the goals going to come from? But Finlayson's having a great season. Obviously, when Marshall's played, he's been terrific. So many contributors in that forward. Pal Pepper, like so many contributors in that forward line. So much flexibility there for Kenny. And they've done a great job to throw those young guys into the midfield and to have the chemistry and the impact they've had. I love watching Port play now. And they're, like Brisbane, they've sort of probably zoomed into premiership calculations now because I think you're right. There's not really that outstanding team that doesn't look beatable.
Just another quick one, Michael, just in closing. The other side of town, of course, the Adelaide Crows, you've just seen them live. They controlled the game for a fair bit of it, and then Gold Coast were good enough. But I reckon just looking at both those teams, Gold Coast and Adelaide, just to my eyes, they look about in a similar position up the ladder. They're coming. You can see they're coming. It might take another year or two, but are you of the same mind of that?
Yeah, I am. Love what the Crows have done this year as well. They're another exciting team to watch. The forward line is so dynamic. Obviously, Jordan Dawson's made a huge difference the last 18 months into that midfield. Love that Rochelle can go in there as well as play forward. So, obviously, the injury to Doudé the other night clearly hurt Adelaide. It just upsets that backline mix. I know Matthew Nix wasn't making that excuse post-match. More so, he was saying leadership more than structure, but we saw the troubles that Lukosius and King present, and without that ability to jumble the matchups, it made it a bit more difficult. But yeah, I think you're right, Malcolm. They're in the same boat as Gold Coast now. Whether they're both probably looking to play finals this year, you'd think it might be unlikely that they both sneak in, but they'll be there and thereabouts, and you'd think next year they'll both be ready to go.
Yeah,
Michael, thanks for the chat. Appreciate it.
No worries, guys. Anytime.
Yeah, good to catch up, Michael. Keep up the good work, Sonny.
Like,
good on you, mate.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Michael Whiting from AFL.com.